Would you please join me for today's reading of Scripture? Today's reading comes from the book of Galatians, chapter 1, verse 10. Please follow along in your own Bible or with the Scripture on the screen. Again, that is Galatians, chapter 1, verse 10. Hear the word of the Lord. Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I was still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I remember a year or two after Edwin and I got married. I came home after serving at an all-day event that someone had invited me to. I was already in a cranky mood because it wasn't really an event that I wanted to go to in the first place. Don't get me wrong, it was a great event for a great cause, but my schedule and my bandwidth for that week was already maxed out. In fact, if I were to be honest, my schedule and my bandwidth for that whole week, month, and even year was maxed out, as I was functioning at a pace that wasn't sustainable. But I said yes to go and serve at this event because I didn't want to let my friend down. I didn't want them to not like me if I let them know that I couldn't help this time. Plus, I mean, wouldn't they see me as weak or as someone who didn't care about helping others if I said that I couldn't join them? So I said yes because I didn't want to risk them not being pleased with me. So I went to this event, and once it ended, I was super exhausted. And when I got home, I came up the stairs and entered into our kitchen, and I noticed this little light on the dishwasher, indicating that it was clean, meaning that it needed to be unloaded. And when I saw this light, my blood pressure skyrocketed, and all I could see was red. I went from 0 to 100 real quick. And I started yelling at my poor husband, who was innocently sitting down at the table doing work. There was no, "Hi, honey, how was your day?" on my end. Instead, it was just me coming in hot because my overwhelmed schedule just became more overwhelmed with this extra task that needed to be done. I started yelling at him, "Why didn't you unload the dishwasher? I mean, what have you been doing all day long?" I was so loud that our dog ran into the living room with his tail between his legs and his paws covering his ears. I continued yelling my rant. "Don't you know that I still have to prepare for the lessons for the kids on Sunday? Don't you know I have phone calls to get back to? Don't you know I still need to meal prep for the next day? Don't you know I'm overtired? I mean, you know I stayed up late last night working. Don't you know I want to spend time with God this evening? Like, hello, don't you get it? Why are you messing with my schedule and giving me this extra thing that needs to be done?" Fortunately, Edwin immediately recognized that I was way past my limit, and he let me know that yes, he was planning to unload the dishwasher, but that he wouldn't be able to do it until he finished his work, as the dishwasher could wait. He suggested I go and get some rest by taking a nap, and that I maybe then spend some time with God. Then that entire evening, Edwin stayed up late with me, delaying what he had to do in order to help me try to make the deadlines that I needed to get done for the next day. And I felt terrible. I mean, I put myself in this situation, saying yes and taking on more than I could handle out of fear of my friends not liking me if I told them I couldn't go. Plus, Edwin, who was a totally innocent bystander in this situation, had to experience the wrath of me when I came home and spilled out everything onto him. Then, because I had so much on my plate, I ended up dropping the ball on some of the important things that I actually had to do. And now I had to inconvenience my husband to help me pick up the pieces. And this was all because of my fear of not pleasing my friend if I told them a simple no. So how about you? Do you find yourself saying yes to things even if you are already overwhelmed with things to do because you want the person to like you? Are you busy and stressed because you can't say no to people out of fear of them not being happy with you? Are you governed by this desire to please people and gain their approval rather than by the desire to live into God's love and to His approval? You know, we're in a sermon series called Overwhelmed, finding God in our crazy busy lives. And why? Well, because for so many of us, there seems to be so much to do and not enough time. People ask us how we're doing and we respond back to them with the typical, I'm busy, and we wear that with a badge of honor. But the reality is that behind closed doors, so many of us are stressed, irritable, hurried, burnt out, and overwhelmed. And not only does living in this constant state of busyness affect us, but it also affects our relationship with God, and eventually it can destroy our soul. And for many of us, our busyness is a result of us not being able to say no to people when they ask us to do something. Here are the top three reasons why it is so hard for us to say no to someone. First, we can't say no because we fear that the person won't like us anymore. We fear that they will get mad at us or that they will be disappointed with us. We feel that if we say no or set a boundary with the person, then our relationship will change. Or maybe we will even lose the relationship with them. So in order to keep the person liking us or thinking highly of us, we say yes to the person as we allow them to take us hostage with their agenda and their irresponsibilities, causing us to run around hurried because we have just added more to our plates. Next, we can't say no because we fear conflict. We fear that if we say no, then the person will be mad at us and a conflict will arise. If this happens, we wouldn't know what to do because we don't know how to handle conflict in a healthy way. Many of us handle conflict based on how our household handled it when we were growing up. And for most people, the message that we learned is that conflict is bad and that it needs to be avoided at all costs. Some of us learn that dad can be mad, but no one is allowed to say anything. Or that mom can be mad, and so dad leaves to go escape at the office. Or we learn that conflict means the silent treatment or a cold war. For others, conflict means violence or abuse. So in order to avoid conflict, many of us say yes to things, even though we really want to say no. We feel that if we say yes to the request, rather than set boundaries, then we can avoid the potential conflict where the person may get angry, throw a tantrum, or give us the silent treatment. Lastly, we can't say no because of the fear of guilt. We find it difficult to say no to someone because we fear that we will feel guilty if we do. Maybe we feel as though we owe the person and so we need to do whatever they are asking us, even if it causes us to be overwhelmed and stressed out. We see this a lot in families and relationships with our family members where we don't really want to do something, but this family member starts to guilt us, saying that because we are related, we are obligated to do it. Or they'll say things like, if you truly love me, then you will say yes. We fear that if we set boundaries or say no, then we'll be seen as being disloyal or even selfish. And you notice that with every one of these reasons, it all comes down to fear. Fear of being disliked, disapproved, and rejected. The fear of saying no and the person potentially not liking us causes us to say yes to whatever the cost may be. And when we continue to say yes to everyone and fill up our schedules, three things can happen. First, we become overwhelmed, stressed out, and resentful. Because we couldn't say no to the person, we add more and more onto our plate. This results in us being overwhelmed and stressed out, as we had no bandwidth to do what we agreed to out of fear that the person wouldn't like us anymore. Then, because we said yes to the person, we become resentful internally, that we have to do something that we don't actually want to do. We say yes with our mouths, but we think things inside like, oh my gosh, this person is so annoying. I mean, do I have to do everything for them? Don't they know I'm busy and I have things to do? Why do they keep asking me to do stuff for them? Then, because we can't say no, we start to avoid the person. We will do whatever it takes to stay far away from the person. Every time we see them or they come by, we want to run away thinking things like, oh, here comes so-and-so. I know they're going to ask me to do something for them. Or I know that this conversation is going to be a time suck. We begin to ignore their emails, their texts, their phone calls, simply because we can't say no. And we feel that if we were to engage with them, they would find a way to convince us to say yes. Lastly, when we continue to say yes to everyone and fill up our schedules, we become angry and hostile towards those closest to us. With so many things to do and all the resentment and stress building up inside, little things set us off or cause us to explode on those closest to us. Our coworkers, our spouse, our kids, our friends, they all get the brunt of the anger that we have towards the person that we said yes to when we really wanted to say no. Because we are so upset at the person who added more onto our plate, we end up taking it out on and spilling our anger on the innocent people who are around us, simply because they're the ones who are closest to us. Take my story about the dishwasher that I shared earlier, for example. And this tendency to just say yes and to people please is actually killing us and our relationships. It's causing us to be so busy and so overwhelmed with so much that we can actually miss out on what is really important. And we can even miss out on what God may be wanting to do in our lives. But did you know that the desire to please people, the desire to have others approve of us or like us, is nothing new? We're not the only ones to struggle with this. In fact, Paul, a man who wrote a majority of the New Testament of the Bible, wrote about this very topic. Now, if you're not familiar with who Paul is, Paul was a man who lived in the first century, and he hated followers of Jesus. In fact, Paul went as far as arresting and killing them, hoping that it would put an end to this Jesus movement that was happening. But then one day, while he was on his way to hunt down more followers of Jesus, the resurrected Jesus appeared to Paul. It was then that Paul realized that what he was doing was wrong. From then on, instead of being the one to bring an end to the Jesus movement, he ended up joining it. Paul began to plant churches in different parts of the world. And one of these places was called Galatia, which is known today as modern-day Turkey. Paul wrote to the church in Galatia around 49 AD, as he had gotten word that the believers there were being influenced by a group of people called the Judaizers. The Judaizers were a group of Jewish people who had infiltrated the church and were trying to influence and teach the Galatian believers that salvation required more than just faith in Christ. They were teaching them that salvation required faith in Christ along with the keeping of what was known as the laws of Moses. In particular, they were concerned with the need for men to be circumcised in order to be considered a true follower of Jesus. See, when Paul had initially planted this church in Galatia, he had taught these Galatian believers that it was faith in Christ alone, plus nothing else, that saved someone from their sins and gave them eternal life. But this church in Galatia was beginning to be influenced by the false teachings of the Judaizers, and they began to question Paul and his authority of his teachings about Christ. These Judaizers became so influential in this church that they were beginning to suggest to the new believers that Paul didn't want to require them to follow the laws of Moses because he wanted to make everyone happy. The narrative that the Judaizers were saying was that perhaps Paul was altering the truths of Jesus simply because he wanted to be liked. In his letter to the Galatian church, Paul responds to them first, explaining his frustration and astonishment that they were so quick to desert the true gospel of Christ and instead turn towards this works-based salvation that the Judaizers were promoting. Paul then pushes back on their suggestion that he was people-pleasing. He writes, "Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ." See, in the Old Testament of the Bible, before Jesus came to earth and died for our sins, the Jewish people were given the law of Moses. 613 laws that they had to abide by. They believed that it was through abiding and following all 613 laws that they would be made right with God. But all throughout Scripture, God had made it clear that the law cannot save you. And the reason why the law was there was because it was meant to reveal your sin and reveal how far you are from God. Because there's no way that a person can observe all 613 laws. That's why when Jesus came to earth as a man, for those who believed in him, he was able to fulfill the law on their behalf, which made them right in front of God, not because of their obedience to the law, but because of their faith in Christ alone. Because of what Jesus did, Paul was very clear that if we continue to live by the law, then we will die by the law, because there's no way that we can perfectly keep 613 laws for the rest of our lives. But it is only through Christ that we can fulfill the law and are saved, because our faith in Jesus is relying on him to fulfill all the laws for us, which forgives us from our sin and makes us right with God. That's why Paul writes, "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." Even though Jesus had made this very clear, some of the Jewish people still believed that their salvation was tied into following these laws. Thus, you have a group of people like the Judaizers who were continuing to preach this false doctrine of a works-based salvation to everyone in this Galatian church. But Paul knew that this wasn't the truth, and he knew that people like the Judaizers were only creating hoops that prevented people from coming to know Jesus and being in community with other followers of Jesus. So Paul sticks to the gospel of Jesus regardless of whether or not people liked him. He knew that his goal in proclaiming the truth of Christ was to please God, not to please the popular opinion of people. And notice that Paul uses the word now as a way to contrast the way he is currently living and his former way of living. By using the word now, Paul is admitting that before his conversion to Christ, his main goal was to seek the approval of others. Before he became a follower of Jesus, Paul's self-worth was based on his status, what he had accomplished, and how well he could adhere to all 613 laws. In fact, he looked at all these accomplishments as making him righteous in the eyes of others and in the eyes of God. But now Paul says that this was not his goal and was not what he was aiming for. His goal was no longer to say yes and please others, but rather it was to please God. In this scripture, Paul explains that we can base our self-worth on one of two things: the approval of people or the approval of God. Our energy can go towards pleasing people or towards pleasing Jesus, but it cannot go towards both. And why? Well, because God wants to be the Lord of our lives, and he's unwilling to share that rightful lordship with anyone else. Paul ends by saying that if he were trying to seek the approval of people over the approval of God, then he would actually not be a servant or a follower of Jesus. If he were to please people first and then bend to what the people wanted of him, then he would not be following and serving God. In fact, he'd be doing the opposite. And people pleasing can happen to the best of us. In order to try and please a boss, or please our spouse, or please our friend, we can easily end up compromising what we know is true in order to be liked by them. We see this happening all around the world, in politics, with celebrities, with social media influencers, you name it. But when we do this, and when we say yes to everyone in order to be liked, it only adds more to our plate, making us more busy, more stressed, and more overwhelmed as we are trying to please everyone. But if we consider ourselves to be followers of Jesus, we actually don't have to choose to live this way. And here are two things that we can practice and remember. First and foremost, we have to remember our identity in Jesus. The only way to overcome the fear of other people not liking you or rejecting you based on your response to them is to value God's constant approval of you more than the conditional approval of people. Because when we turn to other people for only what God can provide us with, it is a direct result of us accepting the lie that our self-worth comes from our performance, meaning what we can do, and from the opinions of other people, meaning what others think and say about us. And when we live this way, it only adds to our life being overwhelming, because instead of serving God, we're so busy trying to serve everyone else and their shifting opinions of us. In order to fight against this lie, we have to daily, moment by moment, learn to live into God's approval and love for us, rather than seeking the approval of others. And when we do this, when we know we already have God's approval, we don't need to seek anyone else's approval, which allows us the freedom to now draw some healthy boundaries. And because we are now living out of God's love and approval for us, then when we do say yes, it's not to gain the approval of the other person, but rather we just want to serve them. We no longer feel like there's some obligation that makes us have to say yes. Now, in order to remember that our identity is in Jesus, we have to hold on to and live out what he already says about us. For example, that we are deeply loved by God. Scripture says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, nor the present, nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Or that we're completely forgiven by God. Scripture says, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ." Or that we're fully pleasing to God. Scripture says, "And a voice from heaven said, 'This is my Son, whom I love. With him, I am well pleased.'" Or that we're totally accepted by God. Scripture says, "However, those the Father has given me will come to me, and I will never reject them." Or finally, that we are absolutely complete in Jesus Christ. Scripture says, "So you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority." Something that has been extremely helpful for me comes from Dr. Robert McGee in his book, The Search for Significance. In fact, I encourage you to commit to memorizing the statement and even regularly speaking it over yourself as a reminder. It says, "I am deeply loved, completely forgiven, fully pleasing, totally accepted, and absolutely complete in Christ." As we begin to reorientate our identity to what Jesus thinks of us rather than what people think of us, it's then that we're able to begin figuring out what our limits are as we learn to say no and draw boundaries. As we learned 2 weeks ago, it is so important for all of us to figure out our limits and our schedules as we base our life with Jesus in the center. And once we're able to figure out what is important versus what seems important, we're able to say yes to the things that are important and no to the things that aren't, or that maybe we just can't do at that moment. This allows for us to begin living lives that are less busy, rushed, and overwhelming. And in order to do this, sometimes we actually have to say no. So when someone asks you to do something, it is okay to nicely tell them, "I'm sorry, I can't do that," or "I'm not able to do that for you at this time," and to not feel guilty for saying this. Now, I want to be clear that this does not mean that from here on out, every time you kindly let somebody know that you can't do something for them, that you're going to be met with this cheerful person who understands, saying, "No problem." In fact, we will likely be met with the opposite reaction, especially if this is a person who is used to us continuously saying yes to them. But you cannot control their response, but you can control yours, and that's a boundary you get to draw. And if people ask you why, it is okay to simply let them know that you're trying to live within your limits. And if people are not able to respect the boundary that you are drawing, then not only does it reveal the substance of your relationship, but it also reveals that perhaps the person doesn't respect you. So don't cave into the pressure, but hold on to the boundary, because you don't want to cave in and say yes and then end up becoming angry and resentful. We should always be doing things because we want to, not because we have to out of guilt or fear that the person is not going to like us. Here are some questions that you can ask yourself whenever someone asks you to take more onto your plate. For example, if someone needs my time or is asking me to do something, I'll ask myself these three questions. First, is this something the person can provide for themselves? Then it's discerning. Are they unable to provide for themselves, or are they just unwilling to provide for themselves, and thus they want me to do it for them? Next, I ask myself, do I have the bandwidth or energy to do something based on my current schedule? Meaning, do I have the actual time to do this, or will I be squeezing it onto my plate? Will other important things like time with God, my spouse, my family, being on mission with God, will all that have to go in order to do this? And then lastly, how will I feel if I say yes? Am I cheerful and loving about doing this, or am I resentful about doing this? Do I feel stressed and overwhelmed when I think about adding this onto my schedule? Asking yourself these three questions whenever somebody asks us to do something for them can help us to determine who are the empty calorie people in our lives. Meaning people who take up our time and our resources, yet they won't do the same for us. These are people that don't accept responsibility for themselves, and they expect us to assume responsibility for them. For example, you give them a next step, but they don't want to do it. Or they're constantly having issues with conflict, or they're overwhelmed with everything on their plate, but yet they don't want to take the steps to resolve the conflict or get help for what they're experiencing. Boundaries need to be drawn for people like that, and it is okay to tell them no and to not fear what they will think of you. Now, I do want to warn you that sometimes people can go to the opposite extreme, where all they do is say no, defaulting to selfish tendencies or only thinking about themselves. They say no so that they can just do things for them, and they aren't available for relationships, they aren't available to serve God, they aren't available for other people. In fact, many people who live this way end up living a life in isolation. And that is not what Paul is saying, nor is it what I am encouraging you to do. That is the extreme. But ultimately, we all want to find a balance where we can make a difference while we live within our limits so that we can have a healthy bandwidth. remembering who our identity is in Jesus and figuring out our limits as we learn to say no and draw boundaries helps us to live a less chaotic, busy, and stressful life. When we're able to live into the love and the approval that God has for us as His followers and as His children, we're better able to let people know when we can't do something. And we don't have to feel bad about it, because we already know that we are deeply loved, completely forgiven, fully pleasing, totally accepted, and absolutely complete in Jesus Christ. Remember, when we know we already have God's approval, we don't need to seek anyone else's approval, which allows us the freedom to now draw some healthy boundaries. You know, going back to that story I shared about in the beginning where I took on way too much out of fear that my friend wouldn't like me if I told them that I couldn't help them, that was a pivotal moment for me, as it was then that I realized that I was living way beyond my limits and that something had to change. And that's something that I have to daily focus on and remember, as the temptation to say yes in order to gain other people's approval is always there for me. But as I continuously remind myself that I'm already approved by God, that I can have limits, and that it is okay to live within those limits, I find that I'm less stressed and better able to discern when an opportunity to do something or to help someone comes up. I find that I'm more confident and able to live into the love and acceptance that I have in Jesus. And because of that, I'm able to draw healthy boundaries with people as I simplify my life, leaving me less overwhelmed, stressed, and busy. Remember, learning to draw boundaries and say no is only one piece of the puzzle. Ultimately, all the things that we have been learning about throughout this series are steps that we can take to change the system of how we have been functioning, so that ultimately we can learn to live and function more and more like Jesus every day. So friends, may you know and may you live into the truth that you are deeply loved, completely forgiven, fully pleasing, totally accepted, and absolutely complete in Jesus Christ. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for you and who you are and for what you did through your Son, Jesus. Because we know that because of our faith in you, there now is no more condemnation. We are deeply loved and approved of by you, which means that we don't have to live in a way where we're constantly trying to please others by saying yes, when in reality, we want to say no. God, help us to remember that that is okay, and it is okay to draw boundaries. Help us to differentiate between what seems important versus what is actually important to you. As we continue in prayer, maybe today you are realizing that you want to have a relationship with Jesus, a relationship with the one who truly loves you more than you could ever know. See, God loves you so much that in order to fix this sin problem, he came to earth as God in human form, Jesus. He lived a perfect life, and then he died on a cross for the sins of humanity, including your sin and my sin, which means that when we are in a relationship with him, we can be transformed by him. But not only that, on the third day, Jesus then rose from the dead, defeating death for once and for all, so that whoever puts their hope and their trust in him would also be made free from the power of sin and death. So if you're joining in and watching today, and you're somebody who wants to make that decision to put all of your hope and all of your trust in Jesus, then I want to invite you to right now pray by repeating after me, saying, Heavenly Father, thank you for dying for my sins and forgiving me. I turn from my sins and choose to walk with you from this day forward. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you're someone who prayed to ask Jesus to come into your life, then that means that you now have a relationship with the God of the universe, and you are a part of his family. Please email us at info@communitycitychurch.org to let us know of your decision. We would love to get to know you better, follow up, and give you some resources to help you as you grow in this new relationship with Jesus. Now, friends, go in peace to love and to serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.